you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Did you come hungry for the word today? Amen. I believe you did. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to get help today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, my kids, of course, they're tall. I don't know where they get it from. But my oldest son, Joshua, he's just beanpole shooting up. And as he's grown, he's had sometimes what are, called growing pains. You know, he'll be laying in bed at night and come down, "Daddy, my legs hurt." And we'll pray, and of course the pain goes away. He knows how to rely on God for healing. I'll tell you what, he's been healed how many times, so he doesn't know anything different than God healing him. So thankful for the way that we can raise our kids in the church. You know, not to rely just on doctors to help them through stuff. That we know that, you know, my kids know no matter what you're going through, Jesus is your healer. Amen. But at times he'll have growing pains, and just as just part of it, you know, part of your, and Jesus helps us with him, helps him with that, of course. But for all of us, as we grow in the Lord, sometimes there's part of growing up that maybe hurts a little bit, right? And I know last week we talked on offense, and I'm glad everybody came back this week. And I don't know if everybody came back. I sure hope so. But, you know, you're here today. But what we're going to talk about today might be a little bit of that. You know, might be a little bit, ooh, you feel the stretch. You feel a little bit of the, it's just an enlarging on the inside. Amen. Amen. There's things that I believe the Holy Ghost wants to help us with this weekend. Things in this message helped me as I was preaching it. You know, I preached in Allegheny last night. Just seemed good to me to do it in both places. And I believe it'll be a help to us. But let's remember it's the Word helping us today. Amen. So whatever said, we know this, that the Word is our light. The Word is our help. The Word is our answer. Amen. And so we can't get mad at the Word. Amen. We know this, that, of course, just like Jesus helps my son with his growing pains, if something I say this morning kind of hurts a little bit, kind of stretches a little bit, not that I'm out to bash, nothing like that, of course. You know, everything said is said in love. It's not, you know, but we follow the Holy Ghost, of course. But if there's something to say, oh, Holy Ghost, help me with that. Help me, Lord. And just like he helps my son with his growing pains, he'll help us with our growing pains. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So now that you're all like, what are we doing today? Why don't we pray? Father, we love you. And Lord, we love your word. We thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And this morning, Father, we thank you for utterance in the word. Lord, I thank you that you speak through me today. Holy Ghost, I need your help this morning. And you are my helper, so I know that you'll help me say the things that need to be said. This is your service, Lord. It's not mine. I only want the words that come out of my mouth to be words that you want said, things that'll help us. Father, things that'll grow us, things that'll transform us from glory to glory to look more like Jesus. Father, I thank you for this service today, and we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The New Living Translation says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So what we're going to look at today is guarding our hearts. Guarding our hearts. Amen. This verse here makes it pretty clear the importance of the role that our heart plays in our life. What's in our heart determines what goes on around us. Too many times, Christians start to act like unsaved people, and we start to let the outside stimulus determine how we are, right? The waves determine if we're going to be wet or dry. No, no, no. Our heart, according to the scripture, our heart ought to determine how we handle the life around us. Amen. If the right things are in our heart, then we know that no matter what the circumstances are that come against us from the outside, we're going to be able to stay steady through those circumstances. If we're blown around and waved, you know, and pushed back and forth, and the circumstances of life arise and it takes us out, knocks us down, you know, over and over. And I understand people, everybody goes through stuff. Everybody goes through stuff. We're not discounting the fact that we all experience storms and trials in life. But how we handle those determines what's in our heart. Or we could say what's in our heart determines how we handle those. Amen. Just like he's saying here, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The way that we go in life is determined by what's in our hearts. So that's why we have to look at guarding it. Think of the importance of that, that what I allow into this thing here, my spirit, my heart down here, what I allow in there, who I allow in there, determines how I'm going to succeed or fail in life. It's important that we have, that's why we come to church, so that we can get the right things in our heart, so we can go on the right path in life. I know Jeff drives motorcycle. I don't know if anybody else here drives motorcycles. My pastor drives motorcycles. And I remember he told me when he first, you know, went to motorcycle, you know, the instruction course that you go to get your license, he was sharing with me some of the things that they said. And one thing that really stood out of what he was instructed in was how, you know, when you're in a car, we should not be distracted drivers, but you know that you have a little bit of leeway in a car, right? You have a little bit of, okay, I can look back and make sure my kids are behaving and then look back forward again. I can look over, you know, maybe turn down the radio and then come back up and be okay, because a car's more forgiving. But on a motorcycle, there's not that much grace. There's where you look, that's the direction you go. You can't be distracted on a motorcycle. If you're driving down the road on a bike and you look over into a ditch at something, before too long, if you don't avert your eyes, you're going to be in that ditch. Where you look, that's where you go. See, where our hearts are, where they're directed, that's where our lives go spiritually. And if we start to look at the wrong things in our hearts, if we start to allow the wrong people to direct our hearts, because they can, your heart is susceptible. God designed your heart to flow with the Spirit of God. Amen. But the enemy knows that. And he can come in and try and blow it a little bit in the other direction. Next thing you know, you're starting to listen to the wrong thing and you're off course, heading for a ditch. Amen. And too many times Christians end up in the ditch because they're not guarding their hearts. We have to guard this. Keep it with all diligence. That means that it's a mindful thing that we have to constantly be aware of. Who and what am I allowing to speak into my heart? Am I allowing the right things into my heart? We could say this, our hearts are like a gas tank. And they're meant to be filled with something to take you somewhere, right? Just like a gas tank in a vehicle is meant to be filled with gasoline to take you to a destination, your heart is meant to be filled with the things of God, meant to be filled with faith to carry you to the place that He wants us to go. Amen? Like we talked about an offering tonight, our hearts are meant to be filled with scriptures of financial promise, so that we can get to the financial place that He wants us to be at, so that we can fund the work of God. Amen. It's not just about us getting rich and getting our pockets lined. It's about furthering the work of God. Think of what we could do if churches could be built all around here, debt-free, just like that. Just like that. Well, where's that going to come from? That's going to come from us getting the right fuel in our hearts to take us to the right places in our finances. Amen. No condemnation if we're not there yet. We're all learning. We're all growing. But there's a point where we have to make sure, am I guarding my heart? Am I allowing only the right things in there, the right fuel? When we bought our building in Fredonia in 2015, we went through, of course, a two-year renovation. Then we were in it for a year. Then we had the fire. And we got to renovate it again after that. It's been an exciting time the past 5 years of this building, 4 years of this building. But when we first moved into the building, of course, you know, we had this crew come up, this sound crew, to set up the sound system. This was in, I guess it would have been spring of 2017. And they're up at the church, and I had let one of the gentlemen that was in town, I had let him borrow my vehicle because we had an extra vehicle at the time, and so it worked out well to do that. Well, long story short, the keys to my truck got lost. And I, of course, only had one key. Just don't be cheap. Go get a second key. I was being cheap, and there's the fruit of cheapness for you. But I only had one key to it, and no idea where it went. Somebody accidentally, one of the workers, put it in their pocket and took it home. He lived in Jamestown. We found it 3 or 4 months later. But so here's my truck parked outside of the church, and for 10 days it's out there. Again, I was being cheap. Cheapness doesn't afford us anything. I was thinking, well, I'm just going to believe God that key comes back, because I don't want to pay the tow truck to take it over to the dealership. That's what I was doing. Wow, great man of faith you got here. I'm just being real. Listen, I'm going to bear a bunch of stuff for you today. You just be grateful you're not the one in the pulpit bearing your stuff, all right? But I believe my stuff will help people today. And so here I am. My truck's parked outside of the church for 10 days. Finally, I begin to believe God for the finances to then tow the truck. If I would have just done that in the first place, none of this would have ever happened. But I didn't. And so I ended up had the truck towed to the dealership. And they made, because they had to make the key there because of the computers in it and things like that. So they made two keys for me. I sprung for the second key. And then when I got my key back, I had a third key. Praise the Lord. But so I start, I get my truck back. Praise the Lord, back on the road, and I'm driving it. And driving it for a few days, everything's fine. Then after another day or two, I go to hit the gas pedal, and it goes, which is maybe what you want a motorcycle to do. It's not what you want your Dodge Ram to do, all right? It was like, if you know much about engines, it was like it was skipping, missing or whatever. I don't know much about engines, if you can't tell. But it wasn't running right. It was jerky. It was all over the place. It would stall out. It was idling real rough. Obviously, something was wrong. And I thought, well, it only sat for 10 days. That's not enough time for, anything to really degrade inside or anything. What's going on? So it just seemed good to me to, of course, take it back to the dealership and tell them, hey, something's wrong here with the truck. I filled it up. It was fine for a bit, but now it's going off again. It's not running right. So they had it for a few days trying to diagnose what's going on with it. Then the guy sends me a picture on my cell phone. And in this picture was a container, probably 3 or 4 gallons maybe, I don't know. And, and most of the container was filled with this yellowy gasoline looking substance. It looked like gasoline. But at the bottom, maybe 2 inches of that container, there was a substance called Coca-Cola. Somebody, my truck was parked next to a church across the street from the police station, decided that it would be a good idea to put a bottle, just a 16-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola in my gas tank. Well, not that I'm giving you ammunition for your enemies, but that's a good way to take out somebody's engine, I found out. Apparently, engines don't run on sugar. So what ended up happening is, of course, the Coke got through the whole system, had to replace the whole fuel system, had to replace it all the way up to the injectors into the engine. Thankfully, I had insurance for vandalism. Didn't know I'd ever have to use that, but glad I did. Otherwise, it would have been $2,000 or $3,000 worth of repairs that had to be done from just a little bit of the wrong stuff getting in my gas tank. See, we don't think much of it with a gas tank. None of us, now I know I have a locking gas cap. I'm kind of grateful for that now. But with our hearts, sometimes we just open it up and let, poof, 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 poof. You say whatever you want to me. Go ahead. You're my best friend. You can say whatever you want, whether it lines up with the word or not. This show on the TV, I know it's rated R, and I know it's filled with all that smut, but it's probably not that bad for me. Just come on, come on, come on. And we fill up our hearts with this stuff, and then we wonder why our spiritual lives aren't running right, why we're missing, why we're stalling, why things are jammed up and gummed up. See, in Proverbs it's saying here, guard our hearts with all diligence, carefully, masterfully. We have to, as believers, be so aware of what we're allowing into our hearts, who we're allowing into our hearts. And we're going to look at those things today. We're going to look at three areas, three ways that we can guard our hearts on what we allow in there, because we don't want the Coca-Cola getting in our spirits. Amen? God has places for us to go. He's got places for you to go, not just this place as a church, but in your life. Greater revelations of healing. Some of us, I know we're all at different points in our life. Some of us, maybe we get the sniffles and it's 3 or 4 days trying to overcome it. Others, it's maybe a day. Some, it's maybe a week. Wherever we are in our life, God's got a better place for us to get to. Amen? Instantaneous healing is what he has for us. That's what Jesus died for us to have. And not to put condemnation on us if we're not there, because we're all arriving at a destination. But as we get along that path, getting that gunk in our hearts, getting those things in there that pull away from the things of God in our hearts, that's going to tear us off track of what he has for us. And then we're going to wonder, why am I not getting there? Why am I stuck on the side of the Christian road? This stuff's not working. My car's not working. Why isn't it working? Putting the wrong stuff in. Amen. So we're going to see today how the three areas to guard our hearts to make sure we're putting the right stuff in so we can get where God wants us to go. Amen. We're going to get help today. Praise the Lord. The three areas we're going to look at are our associations, our media intake, and where we feed on the word from. So we're going to see these three today. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs, just over a couple pages. Proverbs 13. Remember, this is the word, right? Praise the Lord. So the first area with guarding our heart we're going to look at is with our associations. Who we allow in our inner circle. Who we allow to speak into our life. Amen. This is important. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says this, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So today you're all wise because you're walking with me. We got scripture for it right here. That's a joke, all right? My last name's Wise. We got this. Okay. "He that walks with wise men shall be wise." And if we were to say this in 21st century English today, we could say, "You are who you hang around." Yeah, I mean, that's not a scripture per se. Some people like to take these sayings and make them into scriptures. That's not an actual scripture, but we are who we hang around. Great men have said, "Show me your friends and I'll show you yourself." If we look at our closest associations, that's the direction that we're going to go in. Why? Because those are people that we let down the guard on. Remember it said, guard your heart? These are people that we've now said, okay, I trust you. I'm going to let down my guard a little bit. Are these actually people that are saying things that we want to allow to be spoken into our hearts? Right? Now, again, today I'm not saying that we go out there and, you know, put on some cult hat and break, you know, relationships with everybody that doesn't go to this church. Not anything like that. Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't allow them to impart to him. And there's a difference. Amen? There's a difference there that we can have relationships with people. He told us to be a light to people. And we ought to be able to be a light to people, to reach people, whether they're, whatever stage of loss they're at, we ought to be able to reach them. But my closest friendships, my closest relationships, I'll tell you, they all believe the same way I do. Because I want them putting the right things in my heart. Proverbs 27:17, you don't have to turn there, but it says this, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." You know, I know people at work that, well, at my old job anyways, I would call them friends. You know, they're great people. I enjoyed them. We have great time together. I still go out to lunch with them from time to time. Good people. They're not going to cause me to get off track. They're not going to make me backslide or anything like that. You know, I know where my limits are. I know what I can handle in the relationship there, of course. But I wouldn't call them, they're not my inner circle. They're not my closest friends. Now, this is an example. Your pastor is one of my closest friends. He's my inner circle. I allow him, I let down the guard when he's around. I know I don't have to keep that wall up. Why? Because I know he's only going to say the right things to me. You know, there's been times I've gone through stuff, and I'm so grateful. I've shared before how your pastor's helped me through some of the darkest moments of my life. But I remember going through stuff, and he said, "I'm not going to let you whine. This is what the word says." And then he pointed me to the word. Now, I didn't really, that didn't taste that good going in. You understand? I wanted someone to just, "Aw, I'm so sorry. He said those mean things to you." But how would that have helped me? How would that have encouraged me? How would that have propelled me into the things of God? Amen? We need people around us that aren't just going to coddle us in the things that we're going through. Aren't just going to say, "I know how you feel, and you know what? That's okay." No, if the word doesn't say it's okay, it's not okay. That's right. Amen? Circumstances ought not determine whether or not we're okay. Our heart determines it. And I want people that are going to help supplement my heart with the right things. They're going to help put the right things in. This is our associations, and this is how we guard our hearts. Because like I said, these closest friendships that we have, you know, like I said, I don't have my guard up around your pastor. Why? Because I know he's going to say the right things to me. Amen? I don't want my closest friendships to be people I have to be guarded around. I'm not saying we don't associate with people. There's a balance here. You understand. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at, you know, we could say this, but we see it in example in the Word, how it worked for the Corinthian church. It didn't work out too well for them. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 33, Paul said this, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not this knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And 33, their evil communications corrupt good manners. That's good King James talk for you. Basically, what he's saying there is people that speak differently than how we are. He's not talking about pleases and thank yous. He's talking about our manner of life. Our manner of life is to be a people of faith, to be a people that operate according to all the principles of the Word of God. Amen. Full gospel. We believe what the Bible says is true. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if I've got people that I'm allowing to speak into my heart, not just people that I can associate with and be friends with and be cohorts with, but people that I'm actually allowing their words to penetrate my heart, are those words that I want to be producing a harvest in my life? Are those words that I want that are going to help my gas tank filled with the right stuff to get me where I need to go? See, for the Corinthians here, we know this. Paul told the Corinthian church, you fall behind no church, no other church in the gifts of the Spirit. They knew God. They knew the things of God. At one point, they got everything right. They loved the Lord. Now we know they had a lot of stuff that they were dealing with, and that's why Paul came in to kind of uproot some of it here. But one of the most foundational things that this is what this scriptures are coming after here is they had forgotten about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They'd allow themselves to no longer believe that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. Verse 12, you can read back there. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Listen, this is the most foundational truth for a believer, to be saved. We say this at the end of service, and I know sometimes the words go in one ear and out the other because we know we are saved, but you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he went to hell in our place, and that he rose from the dead. Believe those things in our hearts, and we confess them with our mouth. That's the key to salvation. The Corinthian church here is abandoning their salvation. Why are they doing it? Because they allowed the wrong people in their inner circle. They allowed their associations to be a group of people that were contrary to this foundational truth of Christianity, and it got them off course. It got them pointed in the wrong direction. Now they're on that motorcycle, they're looking over in the ditch. And thankfully, Paul came in and said, hey, get your head on straight, and averted them. But some of them could have been lost forever. Some of them may have been lost forever. What if they stepped out of the church before Paul came in and corrected this? Who we hang around can determine the course of our eternity. Who we hang around can determine the course of the healing that we're believing for, the finances that we're believing for. Like I said, I'm not saying that we go off and just cut every connection that we have. You know, that's not Jesus either. Amen. But there's a sobriety to this that we need to be aware of, that our associations, who we allow to speak into our hearts, guard our hearts with all diligence. Because who we allow to speak into us determines the course that our life is going to go. When I was out, this was years ago, but I was rooming with a gentleman for a week, and he was a believer, loved the Lord. I was rooming with him, and you know, he was a friend of mine, and of course I wasn't guarding my heart, so I was allowing, you know, everything he said, everything that, you know, oh, it must be okay because it's so and so. Just I wasn't filtering it, wasn't guarding my heart. Well, one of the things that this person dealt with very strongly. Everybody deals with different stuff. There's stuff that you deal with that other people may not deal with. There's stuff I deal with that may not ever dog you. All of us have our own stuff we have to deal with. And this guy dealt very strongly with offense in his life. Being offended at his pastor, being offended at the plan of God, being offended at God. Just offense, 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 offense. And I knew that there were pieces of that, but I didn't recognize the gravity of it. And I hadn't really dealt with offense at that point in my life. I knew I loved my pastor. I'd do whatever he said. You say jump, I'll say how high, all those things. Just like it taught on last week. But this guy, I roomed with him for a week. By the end of that week, I was offended with my pastor. Had never been offended with my pastor before that. And I was offended with my pastor. And I began to realize, thankfully, I was smart enough to go to the Holy Ghost for help. And he showed me, you know, I said, Lord, and I... Sounds ridiculous to say it, but of course, when you're in the mode, in the moment, you know, I was trying to justify the way I was feeling. And the Lord just subtly, just a knowing in my heart, what was on him got on you. What happened? I let my guard down, and I'd allow that to start to get into my heart. And that was the direction that my life started to go. And we know what offense can do to us. Can trip us up, can take us out of the will of God for our life. Amen? We have to guard our hearts. with our associations, because who we allow into that, who we allow to speak into our hearts, can determine which way our life is going to go. It's a sober thing, but it's important for us to realize. I've seen folks, 17 years I've been born again, 17 and a half years, been born again, you know, preaching 8 years now. And I've seen folks time and time and time again refuse to compromise in their relationships, refuse to separate things that need to be separated from their life, and they get taken out because of it. Or they don't get into God's highest and best. You know, we don't need to just paint a picture that, you know, you have a friend that's not saved, you're going to backslide and go to hell. That's not what I'm saying either. But I have seen people limited time and time again because they won't compromise on a relationship that's holding them back from where God wants them to get to. Amen. I said this last night in Allegheny. If my wife were to say, you know what, that God stuff, it's not for me anymore. See you later, honey. I'm going with Jesus. I don't care who it is. Nobody is taking me off of my heart in Him, the destination that He has for us. Amen. Our associations, who we allow into that inner circle, who we allow to speak into our life. And you have to be skillful with it, because there's circumstances. You know, I worked in a small office with 4 or 5 people. You spend 40, 50 hours a week with these people. They're going to speak some things into your life. And it's a skillfulness that we have to develop as believers, how to allow ourselves to be in that situation but not be stimulated by it. Not allow that into our hearts. Doesn't mean we become unfriendly. Just means we guard our hearts. We don't, you know what, those are just words. I recognize that, but they're not impacting. I'm not allowing that in. I'm not going to base my life on what you're saying. Amen? Amen. We're getting help today, aren't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Like I said, there's balance to this. I'll share another testimony with you. When I was in high school, I had gotten saved when I was 14 years old in the youth group, and I got so zealous for the things of God. Mary Jo probably remembers. I was after it, really stupidly in some ways. I know Mary Jo remembers that part of it. I mean, I was going for it. I didn't care who I ran over to get to Jesus. I was going to crush my parents, whoever it took. I was just going to knock everybody down to get to Him. That's zealousness without learning, and the Bible tells us to be careful about that. But there was a close friend of mine that I had, you know, grown up with, had a great friendship with, and this person didn't want anything to do with God. They were self-proclaimed atheists. They didn't want to know God. They didn't want anything to do with Him. Now, looking back, the right thing to do would have been to just be their friend, because I still would have been able to reach them with the gospel. Be a light to them, be a help to them, be kind to them. That didn't mean they had to still be my best friend. I had to be the one to determine how that boundary went. But instead, like an overzealous little 14-year-old, I went and said, you know what? I'm saved now, you're not, we're not friends anymore. I actually said that to them. To this day, I have not been able to lead that person to the Lord. Why? Because I didn't handle it right. See, these are decisions that we need to make in ourselves, in our hearts. These are self-inspection times right now, where we look in our hearts and say, who is in my inner circle? Who am I allowing to speak into my life? That doesn't mean we go out and hurt people. It'd be great if we could lead them to the Lord. But I've seen folks that say, oh, I'm just maintaining that friendship to help get them saved. 15 years later, nobody's any further than they were. There's a balance to that. You got to know when it's working. You got to know when you got to pray somebody else to get the job done. But who do we allow to speak into us? Amen. We'd be wise about these things. And we'll keep our heart with all diligence so we can go the direction He wants us to go. Amen. Now, that's the first area, associations. The next one I want to look at is our media intake. I touched on it just briefly earlier. Turn to Proverbs, back Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. To understand why media is important to us, and when I say media, I mean all sorts of it. Social media, news, newspaper, radio, TVs, movies, whatever it is, anything that you, video games, whatever it might be, anything that we're taking into ourselves. We've got to know how things get into our heart. And I can't fill up my gas tank if I don't know where the gas cap is, right? You've got to know where it is. And so for us, Proverbs 4:20 tells us, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So there's two areas here that we see that the word gets into our hearts. And the word is that gas that we want. getting into our hearts. It's through our ears, incline thy ear unto my sayings, and through our eyes, let them not depart from thine eyes. God designed us as creatures to take in more than we put out, right? We've got one way to put stuff out, but we've got four ways to get stuff into our spirits. Why? Because we need to take in more than we're putting out. You understand? We said this last week, that what we're saying is an indicator of what's in our heart. Well, if we're not saying the right things, we've got to then put on double time. Get it in here, get it in here. Get the word in. That's the path to our spirit. That's how we get the word in us. We listen to messages from our pastors, from those that our pastors bring in. We listen to those things to help plant the word in our spirit. And then we look at the word. Be mindful of the word. You know, there's nothing wrong with putting post-its of scriptures around your house, having little reminders pop up on your phone throughout the day. Just getting those words before you, in your eyes, it plants that in your spirit, so that we can go where he wants us to go. But the enemy also knows about these ways into our spirit. He knows about our ears, and he knows about our eyes. And I'll tell you, he's doing his utmost to try and get the wrong stuff in. He's pumping the Coca-Cola 24/7. And then we're getting sputtered, and we're getting, and we're jammed up, we're gummed up, because we're allowing the wrong stuff into us. Matthew 6:33, we know this verse says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." With our media intake, what we look at, what we take in, that's going to determine, because what I'm not saying for us to abandon, and, you know, people can take anything and get in a ditch with it. Just like I didn't say to cut off every relationship with an unbeliever, I'm also not saying that we throw our TV out the window, no more TV, we only live by candlelight. You know, we're not, that's the other side of the road here. We're just trying to find balance in it, right? But we know this, media is, it's fun, it's entertaining, right? We enjoy movies from time to time. We have family movie night with my kids once a week. I love having movie night with them. But are we allowing more of that in than God? Because what we're allowing more into our spirit is the direction that we're going to go. That's the direction that we head. That's why Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." It's not wrong to have Facebook. It's not wrong to watch the news. But it's wrong if those things have a greater voice in our life than the word. Amen. Because we know this, Rush Limbaugh is not going to save us on the day of judgment. Right? I can't stand on the word of Fox News when that bill comes in the mail. I like Fox News. I have the Fox News app. I read it this morning to see what's going on in the world. But that doesn't mean that that's my meditation. But if there are people that feed on that, look at every news station all day long. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Well, it's great to be aware of what's going on, but are you aware of how to handle what's going on? We have to get the word in our spirit more than the media that we're taking in. You know, I know folks, precious folks, that have dealt with anxiety in their life. And everybody, like I said, deals with different stuff. Dealt with anxiety in their life, fear, depression, all those things. And I'm, you know, ministered to them, help them, give them scriptures to stand on and things like that, the things your pastor does for you. And talk about it a little bit. They're doing better for a bit, and then they start to tank a little, and you build them back up again. Well, and I'm having a conversation with this person one time, and I find out that they're spending time binge watching. Do you know what binge watching is? Binge watching is when you sit down and you become a part of that couch or bed, and all you do is purpose that for that entire amount of time that you've dedicated to it, this is what I'm feeding on and nothing else. And I've binge watched before. I mean, you can get through an entire season of a TV show in a day if you really give it your all, you know. I'm not advocating for it, but I have done that before, and I'll have more on that in a little bit. But I found out that this person who's dealing with depression, anxiety, fear, is binge watching crime TV reality shows. Now, it didn't even occur to them. Sweet people, you know, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, sweet people, but it didn't even occur to them that that was derailing them from their success, that that was pulling them off of their victory. Because they could, okay, yeah, I looked at scriptures today, you know, I spent 5-10 minutes in the word meditating, and then I spent 10 hours with Criminal Minds. Well, I wonder why you were afraid then. It's not rocket science. What we feed into our spirits, that's the direction that we're going to go in. So we have to be mindful of that. Am I allowing my media to have a greater influence in my life than the word? It's good to be entertained by stuff. It's fun. But there's got to be a balance in it. And then there's other times that we have to be guarded with what we're watching. If it's something that causes you to stumble, you know, there's stuff out there from my past, things that I dealt with. If I see that thing come up in a movie or a TV show, it's done. It's over. I won't watch that ever again. Why? Because I know that if that thing tries to get back in my spirit, Jesus died so it would get out of my spirit. I'm not seeking to have it planted back in there. But people think, oh, you know, I'm okay. I can handle it. Can you? Can you, though? Because you're really starting to, you're beginning, now this is just open one open door. And the devil will use that to then open the door a little wider. He can get his foot in there, he can pry it open. Close that door to something that's stumbling you with media. Don't allow it in there. If you have a hard time dealing with people, get off of Facebook. Trying to learn how to love walk with people, you're not going to do it meditating on the Facebook newsfeed. This is just real stuff, right? This is where we live. I go on Facebook too, but I don't allow it. It doesn't cause me to stumble. I see people and, oh, you know, oh, so and so. But you get worked up and you have to comment on it and you have to chew them out and tell them what you're thinking. That's not the love walk. Realize where we need to work on these things, what we're feeding into our spirit, that's the direction that we go, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're getting help today. All right. Time's almost up here. I want to look at one more area. I want to look at where we feed on the word from. Where we feed on the word from. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what do I mean by that? Those that we receive our spiritual instruction from. Talked last week about how we need the voice of our pastor to speak into our life and help us with things, and God's ordained them for that cause. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. It says this, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, yet many. But if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him." See, when we get born again and planted by God in the place where he wants us to grow in, that means that is our, we could say it this way, that's our camp, right? That's where we receive from. That's where we get our help from. When a baby's conceived, we've got a nice newborn little baby here with us today, right? When that baby was just a bunch of mushy cells, right? Now he's much more beautiful than that, but at one point, we all started there. I was a bunch of mushy cells one point. I'm still kind of a bunch of mushy cells now. I just had to get somebody to laugh today. All right. When we're in that state, we get what are called embryonic stem cells. We're going to get a little science lesson for us today. Those stem cells are basically a blank slate, and they're ready to receive instruction from the genetic code that's in all of our cells on where they're supposed to go and what their assignment's going to be. So, for instance, if I have an embryonic stem cell and it's supposed to become a liver cell, it's going to be coded with instructions on how to become a liver cell. But what if this liver cell then decides, you know what, I kind of like the way the brain's instructions look a little bit better. You know, their instructions are a little more fun. Their instructions are, I like the way that looks. I'm going to go listen to some of those instructions. Well, now you've got a liver cell that's a little bit confused, and it's not going to be an effective liver cell, and it's going to cause damage to the rest of the body, and it's not going to produce the things that it's supposed to produce. But see, so many times as believers, we're supposed to play a part. We're supposed to be a part in the body. Now, we recognize the greatness of the whole body and what God is doing, and I know Pastor Michael shared before his vision here about seeing Jesus come in and tie it all together and how he's just going to group everything together. And I can't see it. I don't see how it's going to happen, but I trust Jesus that he knows how to do it. But for us, where we're talking about guarding our hearts, we have to guard it on where we're receiving our instruction from. And we could be real quick again. See, there's ditches in all this stuff that we're talking about today, which is why it's a sensitive topic sometimes. But we could be real quick again to say, well, you're just talking cult-minded. I can only listen to my pastor. Listen, Jesus said, take the straight and the narrow, right? There is something to be said about knowing where you're planted and flourishing in that spot. Amen. I know my pastor's voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and I know theirs. Right? I know my pastor's voice. I know what it sounds like for me. I know where I go to feed from. You know, there's been times I've listened to messages from your pastor that have helped me and blessed me, but I don't feed on those messages because that's not where I feed from. But look at all of you. You're feeding on it and you're thriving from it. Amen? But if I were to feed on it, it wouldn't be beneficial to me because I'm called to feed from someone else. See, your pastor is uniquely equipped by God to deliver the exact recipe of heaven that you need for your life. You know, and so many times, we're talking about engines earlier, right? My engine right now is a gasoline engine. What would happen if I started pumping diesel fuel into it? It's not going to work out well. I don't actually know what would happen. Would it just stall? It would blow up. Jeff says it would blow up, so I'm not going to do that. But so many Christians out there, they're blowing up. Because they're supposed to be pumping something in, and they're trying to pump all this other stuff in. Well, it's still fuel. Sure, it's still fuel, but it's not the kind of fuel that you're equipped to take. Amen? God has planted us in this place to receive from this camp. So for us, our pastor, those that our pastors bring in for us to receive from, that's where we feed on the word from. Not that we discount the greatness of what God is doing through everyone else in the body. Not to say that family church way is the only way, because that's not true by any stretch. We've got some precious people that are renting our old building in Fredonia right now, having great and wonderful services. People are being blessed and helped. I mean, hundreds of people from Dunkirk hearing the gospel getting saved. It's amazing watching God work. They do things different than us. That's fine. They're not coming over and meditating on what we're feeding on. We're not going over meditating on what they're feeding on. But we're recognizing that we're all part of the body. We all have that part to play. But when it comes to our associations, guarding our heart, where we're feeding from is going to determine the course that our life goes. Let's get real for a second. Christian radio, Christian TV. First of all, not everything we hear on there is scriptural in general anyways. Second of all, none of those people has God anointed to speak into your life. They have great ministries. Great, and I know some people love their Christian TV, and I say this to some folks, and I got hate mail once because I said, don't turn on Family Life Radio. Listen, I love the news on Family Life Radio, but I've heard some preaching on there that is just not from the Bible. I know that when I come to church, I don't have to keep my guard up. I can let it down. Oh, just feed me, Pastor. Feed me. I know that everything in that message is good for me. What if your spirit's allergic to nuts and you don't know about it? Next thing you know, somebody starts pumping nuts in there and you didn't know about it. You're going to have a reaction to it. Right? Because you didn't know it was in there. Your pastor knows what you can take. Your pastor knows what's good for you to eat. And he'll feed us those exact right things to grow us into who we're supposed to be. Put the right things into us. Amen? Let's see. We have time for one more scripture. Turn to Numbers. I want to see this. Numbers chapter 13. Because you may say, Oh, Pastor Scott. Those people are leaders in the body of Christ. Of course they're going to say things that will help me. Well, let's see. Every leader's voice can be trusted. Numbers 13, verse 26. Now we know this story here that the Israelites had come up to Canaan and God told them to send out 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. And they came back with a certain report of the land. It says in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, excuse me, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So up to this point, we see that there's 12 spies. And we know this, it doesn't say Joshua yet, but we know the story later, Caleb and Joshua. Joshua just left. Oh, I was going to use Joshua. Caleb and Joshua come back, and they've got a good report of the land. They've got a God report of the land. They've got God's vision. They've got God's word in their hearts and his promise that they're standing on to go where he wants them to go. But these other 10 leaders, we could say, in this group of people, leaders in the Israelite camp, they had a different opinion of what was going on there. And those leaders, that's 10 people. Now, there's a lot of different studies that talk about how many people were actually in the Israelite group at this time. The number that I found that I like, because it's a big number for this one anyways, is 2.4 million. 2.4 million people now have to decide whether they're going to walk this into the promised land or not. So 10 people, 10 leaders in their group, in the Israelites, come back with this message. Do you think 2.4 million people are going to heed the right thing or the wrong thing? Well, let's see. You know where we're going. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. 2.4 million people were swayed by the voice of 10 wrong leaders. See, who we listen to, who we allow to speak into our hearts, they would have known what the will of God was. They saw what God did for them in Israelites. I mean, the Israelites were, they were kind of dumb, but they weren't like, I mean, but if our stuff was written down, we'd probably look dumb too. I'm glad my stuff's not in the Bible. I don't know about you. But here's this group of people that listened to 10 wrong leaders, and it derailed their life, took them out of where God wanted them to go. See, that's why we know our voice that we're supposed to hear from. When we recognize that, we don't have to guard our heart against it. We can allow our guard down, allow our pastors to speak into our life, and that's going to fuel us to get where God wants us to go. Amen? So we're going to guard our hearts, aren't we? We're going to guard our associations with people. Now, remember, when you leave here, you go out and tell everybody that's not saved, that's a friend of yours, my pastor said I can't be your friend anymore. Right? No. Don't do that. No, we just be mindful. How do I allow this person to speak into my life? Who are my closest friends? Said it in Allegheny last night, I'll say it here today. These are your closest people. You know, my closest associations, they all go to my church or the family churches. You know, those are the people I associate with. Why? I know they're going to speak the right things into my life. I know they take the same kind of fuel that I take, right? Amen. We're going to reap benefits from our associations. Also, our media intake. What are we feeding on? Are we feeding on more of that than we are of God? Amen. Are we guarding our hearts with what we're taking in? Is it something that causes us to stumble? If it is, cut it out. Just stop it. Is it worth more to us than our succeeding for Christ? It ought not be. Just a little bit of entertainment. We've got all eternity to be entertained by the Father. Amen. We're not going to be bored in heaven. I can tell you that. Amen. And lastly, where we feed from. Are we allowing only our pastors, our camp, to speak into our life? Listen, if we're called to be a liver, let's be the best liver we can be. Amen. Maybe we've got a prettier part to play than the liver. I don't know. Whatever part we are, we're going to be the best at it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love your word. Thank you for helping us today. Lord, we want to look more like Jesus. We know that Christian means Christ-like, Father, and we want to be like your son. We want to be every part of that, embody as much of it as we can on this earth. We know we won't reach perfection here, but Father, we want to strive for it. We want to be transformed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And we know that one way that we do that we grow, has to do with our associations, has to do with what we feed on and what we allow into our hearts. So Father, help us. Holy Ghost, you're our helper. Help us as we go throughout our day, throughout our week. Just give us little reminders that, should I really be associating with this? Should I really be feeding on this? Have I sought God first today? Is this something that's good for me to take in? Help us, Holy Ghost, and we'll heed that help. We'll respond to it. Father, we thank you for helping us this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give an invitation here today. You know, the Bible talks about being born again. Being born again simply means, Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And we come to church to learn how to be a good believer, but you can't be a good believer unless you're saved, unless you're born again first. And that simply means that when we die, when we pass from this existence, we have a guaranteed ticket to go to heaven for all eternity with Jesus Christ. And also, it means that we get set free on this earth, that the things that have bound us, the things that have dogged us, the things that we've gone through, Jesus is the answer to all of that. And he's here today to help us through that. So if you're here this morning, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Doesn't mean that you're joining this church. Doesn't mean that you're, like I said, making this your own, and we're not going to embarrass anybody today. It just means that you're accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here this morning, you need to do that. I invite you to raise your hand today. Just me looking around this morning. I believe we're all family here this morning. I don't see any hands, but I want to give a second invitation. Jesus talked about the prodigal son, the son who had everything that he wanted or needed in his father's house, but he thought he could do better on his own, and so he left his father's house and tried to do it on his own. But of course he couldn't, and he came back home, and he thought his father would be there to cast him and to discipline him and to hurt him, but instead his father welcomed him back with open arms. And that's our Heavenly Father. That if we've stepped away from the things of God and from his promises, he wants us back. He wants, and he's there to welcome us back in. So if that's you today, and you need to rededicate your life, you need to come home to Father this morning, I invite you to raise your hand now. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, you're so good, Father. You're so good. You're our Heavenly Father, and you love us. You gave Jesus for us. We're going to pray a prayer in a second here, all together with the individual that raised their hand. But if you're listening on live stream, this goes for you as well. And you can pray right along where you are. You don't have to be in this place to be born again. You just have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So I'm going to pray now and invite everybody to pray after me. And if you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, make sure that you pray this from your heart, because it's not the raising of the hand or just the saying of the words, but it's the believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth that guarantees us salvation. Say this with me. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for coming to earth as a man, for dying on the cross so that I could be saved. I believe that you went to hell, that you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. This morning, I give my life back to you. Do with it as you please. Help me, teach me, and I'll grow. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, such a wonderful time as always with my family out here in South Dayton, New York. And of course, like I said, I won't be back here with you next week. Although I did send your pastor a picture this morning because there were some donuts on that desk. And I said, listen, I'm going to be here every weekend. Nobody puts donuts on my desk in Fredonia. Come on. Help. Yeah. Remember? Yeah. There we go. All right. Thanks for nobody speaking into my life that I don't need another donut. But speaking of food, is there fellowship today? Yes. Yeah, so I don't know why I looked at Mary Jo. What? Bye. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. There's donuts, and enjoy each other. You know, part of the church, we come to hear the word, but we also come to fellowship with each other. Amen. So build each other up, love on each other over in the fellowship hall, which is that way down all the curvy hallways. And have a blessed week. Come back next Sunday for Pastor Mike. Love you guys. You're dismissed.